Good evening. Nice to see you all. It's a bright day, brighter than it was on Saturday. We have, I think, all of our duties covered this evening. Brent White is our reflector tonight, so thank you, Brent, for agreeing to do that, and we'll be interested to hear what you have to say. We're going to be using the Book of Alternative Services. And we'll start on page 185. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And over on page 187, near the top of the page, the Trisagion, and we'll say that three times together. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy upon us. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy upon us. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal one, have mercy upon us. And as we continue standing, let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son was crucified yet entered into glory, may we, walking in the way of the cross, find it is for us the way of life, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we'll be seated for the first reading.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. The word of the Lord.
As you continue seated, the psalm is a part of Psalm 36, and the congregational refrain that we'll use in the places where it's indicated, "In your light, O God, we see light." Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the strong mountains, your justice like the great deep. You save both man and beast, O Lord. In your light, O God, we see light. How priceless is your love, O God! Your people take refuge under the shadow of your wings. They feast upon the abundance of your house. You give them drink from the river of your delights. In your light, O God, we see light. For with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. Continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your favor to those who are true of heart. In your light, O God, we see light. Let not the foot of the proud come near me, nor the hand of the wicked push me aside. In your light, O God, we see light.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. When Christ came as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls, with the sprinkling of the ashes of a heifer, sanctifies those who have been defiled so that their flesh is purified, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to worship the living God? For this reason he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Because a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions under the first covenant. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well. Since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And Brent is going to offer the reflection as we're seated.
Well, good evening, everyone. Of course, before I start speaking, I'm going to have to get out my phone and set my time. As you probably know, a number you would know anyway, I'm in the academic world now, and I'm not so used to such tight time restrictions. dear, unfortunately, my wife Kathy's here tonight too, so I think she will give me a signal if I go on too long. So let me just set this timer, and we'll get rolling. Okay, perfect. Okay, well, good evening. Kurt Schmidt has finally tracked me down. He tried first, I think, in 2019, maybe earlier. I was up here on sabbatical. Then 2022, 2023, and now finally this year. I knew he was coming again, so I started making notes several months ago, because you really want to be prepared when you have the big question I was handed, and all the speakers are handed: what does the death of Jesus on the cross mean to me? It's a big, powerful question. It's almost overwhelming. Stops me a bit short. What can I possibly say in a few short minutes? Especially when I think about Dorothy Sayers and how she gave some very sobering language to people who want to tell Christ's story, something to the effect that we either need to startle or shock or terrify or inspire at least one living soul. And I know I'm no Dorothy Sayers. I've read her work. I'm nowhere near her eloquence. And maybe that's one reason it took me so long to come up here. Big question, very limited time, so you probably think it's strange if I say to you, I'm going to try to answer a second question too. But when I started making those notes all months ago, I kept rehearsing this other question in my mind. And it's one you may have heard before too. It comes from 1 Kings 19, one of my favorite stories in Scripture. You might remember Elijah's on the run. God tells him, go out and stand on that mountain. And there's wind, and there's fire, and earthquake. Rocks are tumbling down. And in the translation I love the most, a still small voice. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah? It's a fascinating story, but that's kind of got to wait. Tonight, I'd like to pull that question out of context and apply it to my own life. What are you doing here, Brent White? Not just here in this building on a Monday night service when all the world drives by, probably wondering why a few cars are parked here. What am I, Brent White, doing here on this planet, on Earth? Why am I alive? I'm talking about purpose. And I can remember, I think I was heading into my last year of high school, being provoked on this question a little bit. You know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do out there in the world? You know, what's it all about? Graduate, go off to university, get a job, get married, make some money, get rich, get famous. Why? Whatever for? And I can remember right around that time reading something that talked about purpose. And I wish, standing up here tonight, I'd made a few notes on it way back then, 50 years ago, so that I could be a little more clear now. But it talked about God and Him wanting us to build character. That was purpose for us. And it was something that at the time made sense, and I kind of grabbed onto it through whatever youthful trials I was going through as a teenager. And another curious memory sticks from around that same time. I read a lady had written a letter to an editor, I think, or maybe an article. And I kind of picture my mind as maybe a bit elderly, retired, maybe about the age I am now. And she said, you know, she was essentially taught the same thing in the Church of England. That was the purpose, building this character. I didn't know much about the Anglican Church then, other than when my father dropped the kids off at Sunday school in the Baptist church down the street. We drove by the Anglican church. I didn't know much about it then. Of course, little did I know, one of the interesting things about life and mysteries, a few months later, I was to meet a lady, beautiful lady who's here tonight from another province, and she had grown up in this Anglican church, and she would change my life in many wonderful ways. Finding a purpose. What am I doing here, Brent White? Helps me answer that question, what does the death of Jesus Christ on the cross mean to me? Frederick Buechner, he's perhaps my favorite Christian writer, he says it far better than I can, so I'm going to read from him. I am thinking of grace. I'm thinking of the power beyond all power, the power that holds all things in manifestation. And I'm thinking of this power is ultimately a Christ-making power, which is to say a power that makes Christ, which is to say a power that works through the drab and hubbub of our lives to make Christ of us before we're done or else for our sakes to graciously destroy us. In neither case, needless to say, is the process to be thought of as painless. Christ-making, building that character of Christ, however imperfectly we might pursue it. That's why I'm here. That's why we're here. It's life and its purpose. And when we think about Good Friday and that message, God wanted this transformation so much that his plan cost him an exceptionally high price. Astronomical. I mean, first of all, just submitting to living life on this planet. After you've been God, walking down the dusty trails of Palestine, that's a sacrifice in itself. But then, to give himself over to the authorities, torture, execution, horrible death. Yet somehow that death and resurrection open up to us life and purpose. As Dean Jeffrey put it on February 19th in his sermon, eternal life, a life that can begin right now. John Ortberg, another Christian writer, says something very similar. God's primary will for your life is not the achievements you accrue. It's the person you become. God's primary will for your life is not what job you ought to take. It's not primarily situational or circumstantial. It's not mainly the city where you live or whether you get married or what house you are in. God's primary will for your life is to become a magnificent person in his image, somebody with the character of Jesus. Of course, standing up here talking about that great purpose, what am I doing here? That answer, you may be thinking, there's the poor guy who can't get to the choir on time. How is he going to possibly tell me about character? But I find some encouragement in Buechner's words, a power that works through the drab and hubbub of our lives to make Christ of us before we're done. Often as I come to communion, trying to figure out what's going on, wondering about meaning, I try to remind myself that Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. What? No life. Zero. You may be alive physically, but without participating in those symbols of crucifixion and sacrifice, I have no real life in me. Christmas Eve, Dean Jeffrey again talked about how Christ came in a very human way that he entered the world, and he said, maybe it's not so inappropriate for us to have a manger scene at the table. The one who became bread that we might enjoy true life in this world and the next. It's an incomprehensible, in-breaking strategy. Life. Henry Nouwen once wrote that We act as if we were simply dropped down in creation and have to decide how to entertain ourselves until we die. Kind of a living dead. The walking dead, so to speak. We're walking, we're talking, but we're not really alive. Maybe we're doing our best to avoid those big questions. Like, what am I doing here? What does the death of Christ on the cross mean for me? Too hard to think about. But then maybe, just maybe, something stops you short someday. Graduation, a birth, a death, some timely words from a friend, a song, and you're staring over your coffee some morning, wondering, what are you doing here, Elijah? One Good Friday, we were invited to a friend's house for supper. Somehow, the conversation turned to, you know, Fredericton's not quite the place it used to be. Less safe, less beautiful. There's homelessness. There's mental illness. There's economic insecurity. Our youth are hit with all kinds of stresses. There's a terrible drug problem. And we talked about families we knew, people who'd been personally kind of smashed by these terrible, terrible things. You know, and we keep saying, got to help these problems, which is a good idea, of course. But the answer was right there in front of us. We were eating together on Good Friday. Christ has attacked sin. Sin is the problem. Sin drains the life out of us and out of our city and out of our world. We're living in a city full of sin, in a world of sin. Far removed from that character of Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner, and we're all sinners. It's a very hard, short word that we don't say too much these days. All these things we call social problems. Sin drains life. And I was reminded of an old social worker that I read about in the New Yorker. She's probably retired now. She was starting work in the 60s. And Lyndon Johnson declared war on poverty. War on poverty. He was going to end poverty. And she said, I look back at my career and we lost the war. We end up disappointed. Despite our best laid plans, we've forgotten the plain answer. As the glorious sings out, thou that takest away the sins of the world, including all of us. Is it any wonder that we pray over and over, thy kingdom come? Is it any wonder that a young man near the end of high school, looking forward to university, or an old guy, nearing retirement, or a person of any age, really, should stop and ask, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Brent? And Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent. I've got to tell you, it always makes me a little nervous to be quoted. But I had somebody quote me once on something I'd said 10 years before, and I said, I said that? I can't even believe it. Thank you very much. Yeah, appreciate your reflection. We're going to continue now with the prayers of the people. And as we do, I'll ask you to stand.
Let us bring to the Father our prayers of intercession through Christ, who gave himself for the life of the world, saying, Lord, have mercy. For forgiveness for the many times we have denied Jesus, let us pray to the Lord, Lord, have mercy. For grace to seek out those habits of sin which mean spiritual death, and by prayer and self-discipline to overcome them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Christian people, that through the suffering of disunity there may grow a rich union in Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church throughout the world and here at home, Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury, Linda, our primate, David, our bishop and metropolitan, the parish of Chatham, Archdeacon Perry Cooper, Deacon Ed Kwan, Deacon Ted Kwan, Canon Sandy McPherson, honorary assistant, Wally Brown, retired priest, and in the Anglican cycle, the Anglican Church in Rwanda. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who make laws, interpret them, and administer them, that our common life may be ordered in justice and mercy, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For places of war, Ukraine, Sudan, the Gaza Strip, and for those who still make Jerusalem a battleground, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those in the darkness and agony of isolation, that they may find support and encouragement, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who, weighed down with hardship, failure, or sorrow, feel that God is far from them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who are tempted to give up the way of the cross, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and those in need of our care, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That we, with those who have died in faith, may find mercy in the day of Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy upon us. Amen.
And on page 191, dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. You're welcome to be seated during the preparation of the gifts. As we stand, let us pray. Ruler of all creation, your Son was anointed with costly oil in preparation for death and the grave. Receive all we offer you this day, for the sake of him who died that we might live, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The Eucharistic prayer is number 2 on page 196. You are encouraged to remain standing, but if you find that you would rather be seated or kneel, you're certainly welcome to do so. Page 196. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you, and so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross, that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now, with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night that he was handed over to suffering and death took bread, gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your Holy Church, gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All honor and glory are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread, communion in Christ's body once broken. Let your church be the wheat which bears its fruit in dying. If we have died with him, we shall live with him. If we hold firm, we shall reign with him. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we stand, let us pray. God of our salvation, in this Eucharist, you have renewed us in your covenant. Help us to follow in the path of him who came to open the eyes of the blind and bring prisoners out of darkness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.